This is Andrew Schultz. I'm the sales manager for CHS Ag Services. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Good morning, Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Don Wick. We'll hear an update from Tyler Donaldson as well. Round two for the current winter weather mix is underway. Snow, freezing rain being seen this morning across much of South Dakota, just moving into extreme west central Minnesota as well. The system will transition entirely over to snow this afternoon and evening. The National Weather Service forecasting a swatch of 6 to 12 inches of snow for much of the southern half of North Dakota. The next system will be seen this evening and into tomorrow morning, with some areas with snowfall rates approaching 1 inch per hour. Far northeastern North Dakota and northern Red River Valley areas will likely see lower snowfall totals. Heading into the three-day holiday weekend, Brent crude oil prices settled to just over $109 per barrel. West Texas Intermediate crude approached $114 before closing at $111.54 per barrel. Eight OPEC Plus member countries will be meeting Sunday to discuss the current oil supply situation. Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting President Mike Zuzlow is describing this as a historic time in the energy markets. He cites President's national address on Wednesday night.
Crude oil markets have never seen something like this as far as an ongoing loss of anywhere from 12 to 15 million barrels a day of crude oil. And you could put that, the 1973-74 oil problem and the 1979-1980 oil problem together. And those two combined still are not hit, did not hit the market as hard as in terms of supply losses is what we're dealing with right now. So the volatility, I think, is only going to get ratcheted up, especially after Easter and after the three-day weekend. So, yeah.
Iran is drafting a set of rules that would allow it to monitor the movement of oil tankers through the Strait of Hormuz. For decades, that strait has been an international waterway controlled by no country. Iranian officials claim there will be no restrictions, but this change will provide better service moving through that important transportation channel. New data shows Minnesota farm finances improved in 2025, but challenges remain. Economists say stronger livestock returns and better crop yields help to lift farm incomes. University of Minnesota Extension economist Pauline Van Nurden says despite improvements, uncertainty remains a major concern.
Uncertainty is even more of a word today than it has been in the past, just given the geopolitical dynamics and what markets are doing, what oil and fertilizer are doing, some of our livestock values, milk prices dropping some and all of that. So I think there certainly is a lot of uncertainty, some angst out in farm country about what 2026 is going to end up looking like.
Van Nurden says while current conditions are challenging, they are not at crisis levels compared to past downturns. According to the USDA Grain Transportation Report, the cost for shipping corn and soybeans to the Gulf and Pacific Northwest has declined. The total transportation cost for shipping corn and soybeans from Minneapolis to the Gulf at just over $111 per metric ton, is down 3% from the third quarter. To ship corn from Minneapolis to the PNW, it's just over $100, down 1.2%. Soybean shipments to the PNW totaling $109 per metric ton, down less than 1% from last quarter. The drought continues to expand in the West, the Plains, and in the South. According to the U.S. Drought Monitor, those droughty conditions intensified in South Dakota this past week. 73% of the state is anywhere from abnormally dry to in extreme drought. 65% of the country's winter wheat growing areas are in drought. That's up 8% from last week. 44% of the U.S. soybean and corn areas are dealing with drought, up 2% and 3% respectively. North Dakota remains one of the very few states with little dryness. Only a small portion of Trail and Cass counties in North Dakota are considered abnormally dry. And according to USDA's Haymarket demand and price report for the upper Midwest, prices held steady. In March, prime alfalfa averaged $119 per ton for large squares. After day-long meetings between the Mexican government, farmers, and truckers, Monday's proposed national transportation strike will remain in place. That protest is happening 4 months after Mexican farmers and truckers blocked highways. They're upset with security issues, including the number of homicides and robberies on the roadways. They want more protection. The protesters also want a reduction in fuel taxes and subsidies to offset the uptick in costs for farm inputs. As the Minnesota legislative session continues, the University of Minnesota is requesting some funding for upgrades to the St. Paul campus. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Tyler Donaldson has more.
The University of Minnesota is requesting capital support from the state to upgrade their St. Paul campus and to provide a new campus center building. Vice Provost and Dean of Graduate and Professional Education and Special Advisor to the Provost for St. Paul Campus Initiatives, Scott Lanyon, talks about the project.
The hope would be that we would be able to open this sometime in 2029, and the purpose of it is to provide a bit of the heart of the St. Paul campus, really a gathering spot for students, faculty, and staff.
Most of the funding would come from the state, while the university would match part of it.
The project, about two-thirds of it, comes through state funding, and then there a third of it is a match from the university to do the project.
Lanyon says the campus center would be another boon and benefit to agriculture within the state by bringing students and researchers and staff all together to one location.
Well, I think it's important to remember that in most states, the sort of applied agricultural sciences would be at one institution, for example, Iowa State. And sort of the basic sciences that support biology, broadly speaking, are frequently at the basic science institutions, so University of Iowa, for example. But in Minnesota, those two institutions reside together. Basically, the University of Minnesota is both the land grant and the basic science sort of institution for the state. That's really important for this purpose, because on St. Paul, that means that we have the basic and applied biological sciences located together, which means that there's opportunities for collaboration on the St. Paul campus that don't exist in most states.
Should the funding be approved, Lanyon expects construction on the project to begin this fall. Numerous state agriculture groups have spoken out in favor and in support of the project, including groups like the Minnesota Corn Growers Association and Minnesota Soybean Growers Association. For the Red River Farm Network, I'm Tyler Donaldson.
USDA's One Farmer, One File initiative is designed to unify Farm Service Agency and Risk Management Agency acreage records into a single submission. Fargo-based MyAgData is the only third-party vendor authorized by USDA to deliver electronic acreage reporting. According to MyAgData CEO Michelle Tressel, this platform replaces the paper maps and the trips to the FSA office that have been in place for some 50 years.
We do that through two different ways. We can either use your standard common land units and just really take the entire paper map process and digitize it, or we can also connect directly to your OEMs, which is stage three that Brooke Rollins was talking about. We can use your actual planted acreage through your My John Deere, your Case IH, your Climate Field View, and report into both RMA and FSA once your actual planted acreage.
Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins hopes to have the One Farmer, One File initiative in place in 2028. However, MyAgData is already enrolling farmers for the 2026 season ahead of the July 15th FSA acreage reporting deadline. The company processed more than 1 million acres in 2025 with a 100% submission success rate. Electronic submissions are processed faster, helping growers receive program payments sooner. And there are other advantages.
By using your actual planted acreage, you're going to have lower crop insurance costs. We have found between a 3 and a 10% difference between common land use and actual planted. So for a 1,500-acre grower, you're going to save $3,000 annually. You're also going to boost your APH because you're only reporting acres that you filed. And you are also going to save time and have increased accuracy.
My Ag Data has worked with USDA since 2014 to help simplify the acreage reporting process. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Don Wick. Minnesota FFA President Cameron Addington is back home after representing the National FFA in Washington, D.C. Reflecting on the trip, Addington said there is a disconnect between consumers and farmers that puts more focus on advocacy.
I know many people in FFA and really just, in the agriculture space at my college or whatever it may be that bring a lot of different perspectives. So I'd say the diversity of perspective in telling the story of agriculture is really important.
The Minnesota FFA State Convention will be held April 20th and 21st in the Twin Cities. The theme for this year's convention is Believe.
So kind of tracing its roots back to the FFA creed, the phrase that we believe in the future of agriculture, or I believe. So our team felt very strongly about having Believe as our theme, and we're kind of excited to showcase that to the members and not only share what the theme means to us, but have them kind of use that for their own interpretation of what they think the theme Believe means.
Addington expects attendance to top 7,000 for the Minnesota FFA convention. Patience certainly critical for a spring season. Vive Crop Protection Northern Technical Sales agronomist Art Graves said planting before soil is fit can be a problem. ROI also needs to be considered in this current economic environment.
Infertile fertility at planting is the key to make a maximum use of those nutrients that have gone up in price, as well as looking at other opportunities in different brands of products and pricing them out when you're talking about insecticides and fungicides.
For sugar beet growers, Graves recommends a plan that'll maximize tonnage and sugar content.
Yeah, well, at planting, we did get a registration for North Dakota for MIDAC 4, which is a 4-pound imidacloprid formulation for sugar beet root maggot. So that's one tool that they have now available to them in North Dakota. Also at planting, they can look to start their plants off strong and get a nice uniform stand using Asteroid in furrow. Is a azoxystrobin fungicide that goes in furrow and is fertilizer compatible. So not only can they get the plants started right, but they can give a shot of fertilizer to right where it needs it to get them started and get a nice jump on the season.
The American Heart Association has updated its dietary guidelines to improve cardiovascular health. The Heart Association said the relationship between the amount of protein consumed and heart disease is still uncertain, but recommends a shift away from meat to plant-based proteins such as beans and lentils. If red meat is consumed, portions should be limited and lean cuts are preferred. Low-fat and fat-free dairy products also recommended. Foods made with whole grains are promoted over those with refined grains. On the farm calendar, the registration underway for the Student Symposium on Agribusiness, an event at Northern State University in Aberdeen. It'll be held this upcoming Tuesday. Have a great day. Happy Easter. This is the Red River Farm Network.